praise, and a bird can sing a praise, and a chicken can crawl praise. Come on and say yes. If they can do all of that, and a dog can bark a praise, and a cat meow a praise, what about you? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do I have a witness here? If you praise him, you'll feel better. If you praise him, he'll come see about you. If you praise him, can I get a witness? If the wind blows and the trees wave, what about you? When the Holy Ghost moves, you ought to wave your hands. When the Holy Ghost moves, do I have a witness here? Anybody want to praise him? Let me tell you a little story. There was an Indian out in Arizona, a man and his wife going by. They saw the Indian out there. He was just dancing away. He was just dancing away. They stopped for a minute. They observed the Indian. They walked over to him. They said, what you doing? You out in the middle of the desert and you're out here dancing. Can I get a witness? Oh yeah, the Indian said, you don't understand. He couldn't speak English well, so they couldn't understand him. So he took a bug and he drew a circle around it, made a little boundary. Then he put another circle around it, put some gas around that, and then he lit it a fire, and the fire blazed up. Then he reached in and grabbed the bug. He said, me, Jesus, do this for me. So that's why I'm dancing. You may be in a desert, you may be in a wilderness, but Jesus will snatch you up. David said, he picked me up out the miry clay, placed my feet on a rock to stand. Do I have any witness? Won't he pick you up? The old preacher, my old Pastor Jones said, he'll pick you up, turn you around, say yes, place your feet on solid ground. Do I have a witness? Won't he pick you up? Won't he heal you? Won't he make a way where there seemed to be no way? Won't the Lord do it? The Lord healed me. The Lord delivered me. The Lord made a way for me when I couldn't see my way. With tears in my eye, he wiped away my tears, told me to run on. I thank the Lord for the riches of his grace. Where sin abound, grace does much more abound. Even though there may be trouble, I got favor, and I'd rather have favor than I would money, because favor can get me what money can't get me. Money can't buy me eternal life, but I got favor. Money can't heal me. It'll get me medicine to get me through the night, but money can't. Oh, come on and say amen. Medicine can't do it, but the grace, if it had not been for the grace. We used to sing a song that said, by the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. Anybody here say, I've come a long way. I've been through the valley. I've come a long way. I've been over the mountain. I've been down in the pit. But I've come a long way by the grace. I've been through some stuff, but the Lord been with me. So now I can really say, David, I can say amen. But yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil, because God is with me. I understand that the joy of the Lord, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You need to understand the riches of his grace. He never runs out. You can never go too far for what grace can't bring you back from.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
One of the most beloved psalms throughout Negro history has been the 23rd Psalm. And there are so many new revelations yet to be gotten from this one number of Psalm. I just want to lift out just one verse, the fifth verse. I don't want to focus on the fight in verse 4. Don't want to focus on the finish in verse 6. I want you to look at verse 5 for the fellowship with the Father. I want you to stand to your feet. And when you have it, I want you to say amen. And then I want you to read it loudly, beginning now. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. I want to point out both successes and shadows of things to come in verse 5. Again, this number of Psalm is so powerful because one of the important ingredients in this psalm is the fact that most of us can see ourselves at some point in this psalm. Verse 1 talks about David's relationship with God. Verse 2 talks about his refreshing in God. Verse 3 talks about his restoration in God. But verse 4 deals with his resolute conviction in God. Verse 5 deals with the reward of his commitment to God. And then verse 6 deals with the resources to reach David's destination in the Lord. And so one of the things that I want us to see is that in verse 1 he speaks in the first person. But in the second and third verses, he speaks in the third person because he's talking about God. he gets to the fourth verse, he's speaking in the second person because he's speaking to God. And one of the things I've discovered, my brothers and sisters, that you may talk about him and how wonderful he is. You may recant and recount all of the wonderful things he's done. But when you get in trouble, something on the inside alerts you to talk to him rather than about him. And David, in the fourth and fifth verse, but in the fourth verse, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's talking about his resolute conviction about his God and the power of his God going with him through his trials and through his tribulations. And I want to just throw out parenthetically here that there is nothing you can't go through if you know God is right there with you. You've got to know that for yourself. It can't be a hope God is with me. I wish God were with me. I think God is with me. You've got to know God is with you. For he says, listen, I will fear no evil. Now, he's not talking about the force of evil through men only, but he's talking about the source of evil through Satan. You see, he's saying, I will fear no evil. Don't care if it's in the flesh or in spiritual matters. I will fear no evil because the one with me is greater than all evil. For thou, you, are with me. Then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because again, he's dealing with demons without and demons within. And some of us don't really be honest with ourselves when it comes to us dealing with demons within. We might talk about the demons without, and we might talk about, I rebuke you, demon and Satan, and buy all that outside. But you got some demons on the inside of you you need to get rid of. And this Psalms make clear, when God is with you, you are able to handle all of your trials, your tribulations, your struggles, your situations, etc. And then as we focus on verse 5 is where I want to go, because most times in Black history, we focus on the struggle, but not as much as I'd like us to on the success of coming out, of being brought out, of being delivered from and brought to a new place, both in God and in this world. And so I want to focus on the success first. This same David is saying, thou, you, preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now underscore presence of mine enemies, because we're going to come back and deal with that some more. Presence of mine enemies. Don't fool yourself. I don't care how folk claim to like you. I don't care how much good you do to try and help folk. You'll be surprised that enemies are all around you, both in the secular realm and in the spiritual realm. You've got enemies you can see, and you've got enemies you can't see. You've got enemies who will admit they're enemies, and then you got enemies who disguise themselves as frenemies. But you've got to know, in this world you're going to have enemies. You're going to have enemies who don't like you, not because of you, but because of who's in you. Because of the God that lives on the inside of you. Because of the light that shines out of you. Because of the witness you have for the God who is greater than any God, any idol, any being in this earth realm. There's none who can compare with him. And when you begin to speak his name, when you begin to lift him up, when you begin to glorify him and make his praise glorious, the enemy gets mad. When you get ready to praise God at the highest, look for the enemy to show up. Soon and close. And sometimes he's right in your own house. Sometimes you sleep with the enemy. Sometimes you pray with the enemy. Sometimes you'll discover that the enemies worship with you. And many times work with you. And fellowship with you. But you won't know that until you know how the God you serve watches over you and protects you. And so David says, thou, when he came out of the valley through his struggles, through his trials, through his tribulation, one, that was one success. Because there were those who saw him go through, who gambled on the fact he wouldn't come out. There were enemies who proposed that there was something that David was not doing or was not in totality that would allow him to make it out of his valley experiences. But God walked through that valley every step of the way with David, and that is an encouragement, and that's what he has done for the people of color for many, 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 many years through many dangers, toils, and snares. We have already come because God was with us. But God wants us to see that he's not just with us in our valleys, but he's with us in our victories. So God prepares a table. That's another success, to have God prepare the table for you when you should be preparing the table for God. Listen, God was so impressed with David's faith in him, his encouraging himself in the Lord, him believing in the Lord, his not wavering with all that he went through, that God honored him, rewarded him for his faithfulness. Listen, in the presence of his enemy, God set up a table. Now, what do you think God put on that table? He put everything on that table that was good to and good for David. But not only David, but for the enemies themselves to see how good God is and or was to David. It was also to send a spiritual message that if you get your life together, if you do the right thing, if you serve the right God, if you just live right, what God is doing for David, he can do the same for you. So look at what he does. He sets up the table. He lavishly places a banquet before David. But it's not just before David, but it's before David's enemies. He puts it close enough for them to view it, but far enough away so they can't violate it. I love the way God operates. Because your enemy, listen at this, sees and knows every time God blesses you. They so busy minding your business that they can't take care of their own. They know every time God drops a blessing in your lap because they're watching you. And listen at this. God lets them, he lets them get close enough to see it, but he doesn't let them get close enough to touch it. I want you to see something else. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. Now, this has great significance in it, and I'm going to come back and deal with it on a spiritual level. But when he talks about this, this again asserts that God's approval with the anointing oil that he places upon David's forehead, which is to show that God himself is still with him in his successes and his victories. I've said this before. Do you know you need God in your successes just as well as you do in your struggles? And you need to be reminded, as well as the enemy needs to be reminded, that you belong to God, and God and God alone. And so when he anointed David, it was for the enemies to see that God had anointed David as one of his own after he came out of the valley. You see, some people will think that you're a child of God before you go through your troubles. And they somehow think that when you come out of your troubles, that God ain't got nothing to do with you no more. That God is like you, you know, put them down and think less of them and low of them. But God wanted to show them that he's just as much with him after he has come out of the valley as he was with him before he went in his valley. So the enemy can see that David is anointed by God. Listen, he anoints my head with oil. All right, and then he moves to the last part where he says, my cup runneth over. God is letting them see all of this. Keep in mind, God set the table. God is pouring the wine. And he's pouring the wine, and he gets to the top, and he doesn't slow down. He just keeps it flowing. Over the side of the cup, it runneth over. It keeps on pouring. It runs down off the table onto the floor. He keeps pouring. And the oil and the wine just keeps on flowing, and they're salivating. And yes, it's to suggest abundance. Yes, it's to suggest overflow. Yes, it's to express limitlessness. Yes, it's to express that where this came from, there is more there. But there is a deeper message than that. Now, we've dealt with the successes of this celebration, but I want you to now look at the shadow of this celebration. Because again, before the presence of the enemies, God is doing all of this, not just for David, but for what is to come after David. Now, hundreds of years later, you're going to discover that some of the same things replay themselves in just a very little different ways. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, Jesus had a table prepared for him in the presence of his enemy. Matter of fact, Judas was at the house, at the table that had been prepared for Jesus and the disciples. While Jesus was there in the presence of Judas there, a woman came and took an alabaster box of precious ointment and broke it and anointed Jesus. Now, I want you to walk with me I want to just teach you something that you don't usually get in hearing this verse, but I wanted to take you to a deeper realm of understanding. Now, again, I told you about the successes, but I'm telling you about the shadows of things to come. You know, David, again, set up the lineage for Jesus to follow through in the earth realm. So here again, God the Father is showing David what is going to happen in his son Jesus that David is experiencing himself. So the table that was set up for Jesus at one of the disciples' house, Jesus was at the table reclined eating, and the woman pours the oil on his head. Judas gets upset and said, "What is this waste for?" Didn't say it to Jesus. He said it to one of the other disciples. Jesus heard him. He said, "This is a memorial for me, for my burial." So he was anointed. Listen, David was anointed to live. Jesus was anointed to die. Stay with me. I want to show you how he walks through this. Because when David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil," they both, Jesus and David, were anointed, but the purposes were different. Now, there is another table that Jesus had prepared for him called the Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, in the presence of his enemy, he said, "One of you will betray me, one of you will deny me." And everybody asked, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" And Jesus says, "The one who puts his hand in the sop with me, that's the very one." And everybody, could you not imagine, made sure they looked to see when Jesus was sopping. He pulled his out, they put theirs in. And along through the night, throughout the conversation, Judas wound up putting his hand in the sop and felt Jesus' hand. Jesus looked at him and said, that you have to do, go do it quickly. The rest of the disciples did not know what was going on, but the enemy did. And he left out of there at that table. But there was wine on the table in the cup. So when David says, "My cup runneth over," listen, God was the producer of the wine. Well, you got to know that his son Jesus took water and turned it into wine. There was no shortage of God and wine. And so in the cup, Jesus said that this cup of the New Testament is filled with my blood. The blood, the wine represented his blood. And because it represented his blood, that cup that was like ruby red wine was to remind even the enemies watching that it did not make sense for the wine to be wasted in the overflow. But God wasn't doing that just for the overflow. God was doing that to show them that wine in the cup was a shadow, a symbol of the precious blood of Jesus. And that same Jesus talks about his blood, and the songwriter picked it up and said, "There is a fountain." Imagine the blood flowing, the wine overflowing. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from who? Emmanuel's vein. Sinners, those who are present watching, plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain." The message message to the enemy was, you don't have to stay an enemy when you know a God as good as the God of David. That same God who is good to